You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello one and all, a warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Dave Kellner and Dave Tindall with you as always to preview the two events this week. We've got the Rolex events, the Aberdeen Standard Investments Scottish Open on the European Tour, and we have the Sanderson Farms Championship on the PGA Tour. First of all, a warm welcome to Dave, who joins me on Skype today to look ahead to these two tournaments. Dave Tindall, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. I'm ready for another good week of golf this week. I always like the Scottish events.
Yeah, I must admit, I didn't see any of last week's two tournaments. I was having, I think the Americans call it a staycation last week, so I was away. But I did notice that John Catlin had won again. He took the Irish Open, superb round on Sunday, sealed the event, and after his win at Valderrama, another strong performance in pretty tough scoring conditions. And we've seen Sam Horsfield win twice on the first UK swing. Now Catlin's won twice. Do you think there's anything in that, or is it just a coincidence, Dave?
Hard to tell, really. Maybe if you like lack of spectators, then you know you'll like it the week after as well. So yeah, some players have adjusted better. But I saw the last knockings of that event, and yeah, he went out and won it, really. Catlin birdied last couple of holes, I think 15 as well, and set the clubhouse target. And then Aaron Rye had a shot at matching him, but took a six at the last. He just pulled his, I think it was a three wood he hit into the par five closer, pulled it into absolutely horrendous rough. It was pretty unlucky, to be honest. He went for the big old hack out and just sort of chunked it forward about 10 yards into more rough. So bit unlucky for him. But yeah, Catlin, someone we need to look out for. I don't know how good he's going to climb. We've obviously seen Americans, you know, sometimes these American names pop up and you think, well, who are they? What are they up to? But obviously Brooks Koepka's taken the route, hasn't he? Playing in Europe, and we'll have to see how Catlin goes.
And on the PGA Tour in the Dominican Republic, Hudson Swafford back in the winner's enclosure after his success. And I was sort of hoping that Swafford's final round was going to be Xinjiang Zhang's final round, because he was in contention going into Sunday. Didn't materialise for him, and I thought it was a bit of a shock the way Adam Long wilted away on Sunday in that final round. He went into that closing 18 holes with a two-shot lead, and we spoke about him briefly on the podcast last week. I thought it was, well, it was his to lose, and he did lose it. Yeah. He was disappointing in that final round.
Yeah, sometimes you think, well, he's proved himself in final rounds before. He'll do just fine, and yet he got turned over and just went wrong from the start. And Swafford, one of those, you're not picking him on current form, were you? I'm looking back, he'd missed five of his previous seven cuts since lockdown, so I don't know quite where that came from, but unless you believe in the conspiracy theory, it was actually Harris English all along. Because they do often get mistaken for each other.
And they do look remarkably similar as well, don't they? So well done to Hudson Swafford, who came from behind to win in the Dominican Republic. Let's move on to this week, because we've got a really good week of golf. Looking forward to this. Start off with the Rolex event, the Scottish Open. Tommy Fleetwood, 10-1 at the top of the betting. Matthew Fitzpatrick is 12-1. Thomas Peters, 20s. Bernd Wiesberger is 22s, along with Martin Kaymer. Matt Wallace and Erik van Rooyen, both 25-1. Lee Westwood is 28-1. Ian Poulter, 28-1. Rasmus Højgaard is 28-1. And it's 33-1 Thomas Dietrich and George Kutsaya, 35-1 and bigger the rest. It's excellent to get a top field on the European Tour this week as well. And for the second straight year, the Renaissance Golf Club is hosting this championship. Maybe it is officially classed as a links course, but in essence, Dave, it's not really. It's manufactured, and it was a real pushover for these players last year. Wiesberger and Benjamin Hébert both recorded 22 under par for the week, and Wiesberger won in the playoff. Conditions likely to be different, though. It was benign last year. Greens were easy to hit, and it was a pretty much a doddle for these players. But it looks like we're going to have completely different conditions this time around.
Yeah, they played a ladies event there, haven't they? Which was won in, what, 5 under, I think? So it's going to be a much tougher test. And like you say, in Scotland, one of the biggest protectors of the score is the wind, and it looks like we're going to have some. So that adds to the mix. I mean, it's. I went on a mini kind of golf trip around North Berwick, where this is.
Okay.
And saw the Relations Club, and because I love links golf, and I saw that, so why would you want to be a member there that's sort of not even proper links?
Yeah,
but obviously people do, and it's a bit more protected, and it's all a bit more modern and everything, and you know, a lot of people will like that style of you know, clubhouse and the way it runs through the course as well. We're back here again, but I think we're certainly going to get a much tougher test, something more akin to a good old tough week on the in Scotland. So it makes it a little bit tricky. I mean, we're recording this on what, Tuesday morning, and the unreliable weather forecast could turn us in. So I'm only going to put one pick up and then maybe have another one nearer the time.
Yeah, it's one of those events. So are you looking at this? Do you take into account links form in the past then, or are you looking at players that revel in conditions in the UK and Ireland when it does get a little bit damp and windy? Because it's forecast to blow up to 25 miles per hour all 4 days, and it's going to be wet this week as well. And in the lead up to this championship, it's been pretty wet in Scotland, so reportedly the rough is a lot thicker and juicier than it was last year.
Yeah, my pick, it kind of gives, you know, it answers that question, because he's someone who's absolutely proven in tough conditions and in Scotland.
Okay, you lead off. Actually, I've got two picks, so shall I lead off?
Yes, I think you should, yes.
Okay, I'll go first. I looked at a few at the top of the betting, which we'll come to in due course, but I'm going to go with at 60-1 Joost Luiten as my headline selection here. I just think he's a good price. He's largely been out of form since the tour resumed, but he did bounce back with a tie for 11th at the Irish Open last week, which was very encouraging. And obviously, Loughton's a player that is more than capable of winning in the sort of conditions they're likely to encounter this week. He's won on a links-like track in the KLM Open, has actually taken that title twice in his career. He's won on the coast in Oman as well, where it does blow. And what I thought was encouraging about last week is he ranked 18th in strokes gained on approach, which might be a key factor this week, and 20th in the field off the tee. So his all-round game was clearly in very good order. Did miss the cut in this last year, but that was right on the number, 4 under par, and this is going to be, I think, much more to his liking this week. He's finished 4th in the Scottish Open before. That was at Gullen back in 2015, and I think he's a fair price this week. So Joost Luiten, my headline pick here at 60-1, Dev.
Yeah, I do like that shout. Pretty close to putting him up myself. Do you know, he's one of the actual golfers who, and I wish they would, more of them would do this, who actually has a website and he writes stuff about what's happening to him.
I didn't read any of the articles, but I did have a quick glance at his website.
Yeah, because I opposed him in a match bet last week, actually, because he said he'd struggled without the crowds, and he said he's only got himself to blame and he hadn't been playing very well. But he has updated his website on the back of that good performance in the Irish Open. And he just quickly read a little bit. He says, "I'm certainly not dissatisfied with that." I'm translating live from Dutch. not really. I pressed the translate English button in the top corner. So some of this sounds slightly funny. That's because the translation says, "I am certainly not dissatisfied with that 11th place, but I feel I could have done a bit more. I hit the ball really well on the course. Blah, blah, blah. Luckily, my swing felt a lot better than in the past few weeks, which gives me a lot of confidence ahead of the next two tournaments, the Scottish Open and the BMW.
Oh, that's encouraging.
So it sounds like he's turned the corner a little bit there. So, yeah I agree. I think maybe he's a bit ahead of the handicapper with that price.
Yeah, I thought 60s was more than reasonable in this field. So, yeah, he's my top pick this week.
Have you looked? Do we know tee times yet? Have you looked at the draw?
Don't think they weren't out when I looked last night, but maybe they have been released this morning, perhaps.
Right, but again,
it's definitely something to look at this week, isn't it? If you think there's going to be an angle in, it's just the weather forecast in Scotland just changes so quickly, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Unless you're betting literally on Wednesday night, you're going to be in... It could easily switch, couldn't it?
Yeah, and even then, if you, it can switch during the day itself. So a tricky one. But yeah, I certainly like that pick. My one pick at the moment is going to be Lee Westwood.
Okay, 28-1.
At 28-1. I just think he's absolutely, you know, in the sort of form that you want to be if this is going to be a tough test. He's coming in off two performances where he really had to kind of stick his chin out and grind away. So 10th at Valderrama in very tough conditions there. And he shot a fine round 67, which was superb. And then he kind of used that momentum to go into the US Open at winged foot and finished a very solid 13th. I mean, he looked like he could do better than that at one stage, but 13th in that field in the US Open, that winged foot, was still a pretty strong effort.
Yeah.
Look at the way he drives the ball. Strokes going off the tee, 8th at winged foot, 5th at Valderrama, then 7th in the UK Championships, where he was 17th the week before that. Westwood played here last year, was only 55th, but maybe the scoring was too sort of low for him. He did shoot a middle pair 67, so nothing wrong there at all. Worst round was 70. But if you look at his record in Scotland, he's obviously won the Alfred Dunhill Links. All his good open performances seem to have been in Scotland, so it is a part of the world he likes. I think he lives there now, doesn't he? I think he lives in Edinburgh, so they've got a residence there. His kids go to school there. So lots of good signs for Westwood at the moment, looking at his stats, looking at his history, looking at his ability to play well in the wind. I thought 28-1 was a good each-way price.
Okay, Lee Westwood, Dave's pick here at 28-1. I've looked further down the list for my second selection, and it is a little bit of a flyer. I'm going to go with Marcus Kinnelt at 100-1 as my second pick. It does take a little bit of a leap of faith, but I can see conditions really suiting him this week, and I thought it was just worth a few quid at a three-figure price. He hasn't really kicked on after his decent form on the first UK swing, having posted finishes of tied 15th at the Wales Open, tied 13th at the UK Championship. And it is worth remembering that he won the British Masters on the links at Hillside on the back of four straight missed cuts, and this time he's had three straight missed cuts, so he can find his form from nowhere. There is a little bit to overlook. He did have an 80 last week in Northern Ireland, but he's got good links form. I like that form at the Open de France as well, in tough conditions that he's got, and it wouldn't be a shock to me at all if he bounced back this week on UK soil. So Marcus Kinnelt at 100-1 is my second selection, Dave. Just half a point each way on him.
Yeah, I think certainly if you look at some of those performances from players, I mean, I nearly put up Thomas Bjork in this because he finished runner-up, didn't he, to Eddie Pepperell at Walton Heath when it was really grotty weather in October in the UK. I don't know, I keep putting him up on this podcast and he never delivers, so I've had enough for now. But I think he's 125s if you want to look at Alexander Bjork. But yeah, fascinating tournament. Some good players playing. Fleetwood, Fitzpatrick, Thomas Peters, Wiesberger, Keimer, Matt Wallace, Van Rooyen. So a really good field. That's really good to see.
Any of those away from Westwood that you've found interesting? I quite like Matt Wallace at 25-1. He's been quite well tipped on the back of a good performance last time. And I think Erik Van Rooyen, I'm not sure where the conditions will suit Van Rooyen as well as they did last year, but he opened with a pair of 64s and was the man to beat, wasn't he? After 36 holes last year at Renaissance Golf Club, and he finished he lost his way a little bit on Sunday. He had that 8, didn't he, on the second hole, which killed his chance. But I thought Van Rooyen and Wallace would go well.
Yeah, certainly. A couple of 50s. Catlin, who you've mentioned, he's 50s. I mean, it's a pretty big price for someone with his form. Joachim Lagergren at 50s as well.
Well, how do you think Bob McIntyre will play?
Yeah, I did look at him, actually. It took him a while to come back, didn't he? He's not done an awful lot since. He's sort of taken him in on trust a little bit. Nothing... I was looking at various things with him. Nothing jumped out that was sort of hidden. And I thought, there's a sign there that he's about to win. I know, obviously, he's Scottish, and that could be a help. But I don't know. Of the Scots, I think Richie Ramsey might be a slightly better value bet.
Do you think so?
McIntyre, yeah.
Yeah, OK. 45-1 it is for McIntyre. And just having a look at Richie Ramsey's price. He's 80-1 Richie Ramsey. So yeah, maybe better value on Ramsey this week than McIntyre, almost twice the price. Shall we move on?
Yes.
Let's talk about the Sanderson Farms Championship. And here at William Hill, we are top price guaranteed on the top 10, plus we are paying 8 places on the Sanderson Farms this week as well. So a good concession there. We're paying 6 on the Scottish Open, 8 on the Sanderson Farms. And the market headed by Scotty Scheffler, who's back. And 9-1 Scheffler. Sung Jaim is in the betting at 14s. Will Zalatoris 18-1. Sam Burns 28s. Benny Arn is 30-1. Sebastian Munoz is 30s. Adam Long 33s. Dot Redmond 33s. 35-1 and bigger the rest. And we're back at the Country Club of Jackson hosting again this year. And it's hosted this championship since 2014. So there's plenty of course form to take a look at. But given its status has been enhanced, Dave, it's not the strongest field you'll find on the PGA Tour this year. It's quite a weak turnout for this tournament. I was a little bit disappointed.
Yeah, it's a good job Scheffler's back, isn't it?
He's
tested positive for COVID, didn't he? But he's back now. So, yeah, not the greatest event. But an event you must...
Yeah,
remember fondly, having tipped Cameron Champ at 50s.
A couple of years ago, Cameron Champ. And I think... what that champ victory showed was that finding fairways isn't a necessity around the Country Club of Jackson. It's an event where if you hit the fairway, you'll find plenty of greens. If you miss the fairway, you'll still find plenty of greens here. Not really an issue from the rough. And it's a switch back to Bermuda grass as well this week, which might see a few players suddenly find their form as well. The course is quite long. It's a par 72, which measures almost 7,500 yards. But there's a nice mix of long par fours and short par fours and a couple of really long par fives as well. And Champ's success was based on eating up those par fives, really, because he had 4 or 6 iron into a couple of them, 4, 5, 6 iron into a couple of them. Then he hit short irons into a couple of them on that week as well. So he really drove the ball long, as he does Cameron Champ, and took advantage of the par fives in his victory a couple of years back.
Yeah, I'm maybe slightly coming at it a bit different from you there, because when I've looked at the stats, the first five finishes last year were all ranked in the top 10 for strokes gained off the tee. So I don't think you can just hit it all over the shop. And then when that year Champ did win, I mean, Champ is one of the best drivers of the golf ball around.
He is, yeah.
You'll find him always high up in strokes gained off the tee. So that year he did win it. The top three were all in the top four for strokes gained off the tee. So I think what you do off the tee is important this week.
Okay, so you've looked at players that are strong off the tee this week. Have you come
That's
down
one
with,
of the things yeah. in the mix. I mean, I think
putting's really important this week. I think you're going to have to put really well this week on these Bermuda grass greens, because the scoring's going to be so low.
Yeah, obviously looking at putting birdies. One, I don't know whether it's a quirk or not, but all the winners at Jackson have been first-time winners on the PGA Tour.
Oh, that's interesting.
So I don't quite know if that... well, I think it has gone into some of my thinking, because I've got 3 picks and 2 of them have not won before.
All right, OK. I've only got the 1 pick for this event, so you've obviously zeroed in on a few here and maybe looked at this event more intently than I have.
The other one is, I think you mentioned back to Bermuda, it's Champion Bermuda, isn't it, which we saw at the Wyndham Championship at Sedgefield. So I think if you've had a good knock there recently, that's going to help you, or in theory it should help you.
Yeah. OK. Do you want to lead off?
Yes, I'm going to lead off on Doc Redman.
Mm.
Fairly easy to find, in the sense that he's got a pair of top threes in his last 3 starts. He was 3rd at the Wyndham, 3rd at the Safeway. The Wyndham on Champion Bermuda, as I said, he shot middle rounds of 64, 63 there. Shot a 62 in the Safeway Open to finish 3rd. So he's going really low. And if you look at some of the recent winners of this event, I think Cameron Champ, I don't know whether this was one of the reasons why he tipped him, he'd won a challenge, a Corn Ferry Tour event with a 61 not that long before, and I think Ryan Armour had also shot a 61 not long before he won. So recent evidence of a low round, and if you've done it at the Wyndham, I think is good for Doc Redman. He just drives the ball well. He's finished 30th in strokes gained off the tee. On his last start, first in approach at the Safeway Open, on his latest start. So he's just got all the things I'm looking for this week, really. Low rounds, good form, driving the ball well, and someone who is looking to make that break. So he did nothing amazing about his performance here last year. Did shoot, finish with a 68, that was his best round, and made the cut. But I think in the form he's in, I think he's someone who's going to land soon, and this looks one of the prime events for these first-timers.
Yeah, nice. I do like Dot Redman a lot. 33-1 Dot Redman. I've just gone a couple of points bigger. I like Brian Harman this week at 35-1. I said the putter might be a key element. Harman's been rolling it really well recently. He's picked up strokes with the flat stick in 8 of his last 9 rounds on tour. They've paved the way for finishers of tied 11th at the Northern Trust, tied 12th at the BMW Championship, and 38th at the US Open, all in much better events in terms of field quality anyway. And so Brian Harman, he's had one start at the Country Club of Jackson, finished 14th last year, where he picked up strokes in every round on approach. If he can marry that with the putter this year, I think he's got a big chance. He's got really strong form on Bermuda as well. So I like Brian Harman a lot, 35-1, Dave.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
Put up Harman and then this last year, so obviously I do like him as a good fit for the course. My second pick, I'm going to 50-1. I'm going to pick Cam Davis.
I looked at him a lot.
So again he's, you know, pretty solid driver of the ball. He has got some good form of late. 12th at the 3M Open, 15th at the Wyndham, which, like, at the Wyndham he closed with 365s to show what he can do on Bermuda. Then at the Northern Trust, he opened 64-65. He was second at halfway, faded a little bit, but he's doing an awful lot of things right. 10th on those Bermuda greens at the 10th in strokes gained putting, sorry, on those Bermuda greens at the Wyndham, where he was 15th. And then he played this last year, missed the cut on his debut in 2018, but he came here last year and finished 28th. So it looks like if he can continue that progression. Again, another one looking for a first win. I think he's knocking at the door. I even found some Corn Ferry form where he was in the North Mississippi Classic.
Nice.
A couple of years ago where he was fourth with a round to play. So all in all, I think he's quite a good package for someone at 50-1. So that was it basically.
Just before we get to your final selection, were you tempted by the two quality Europeans here who were out of form to a large extent? Henrik Stenson at 40s and Sergio Garcia at 50-1. It's one of those things, isn't it? You find it, if someone had said 6 months ago these two players are going to be those prices for this event in this quality of field, you'd have been shocked, wouldn't you, really?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, Garcia does particularly seem to have gone off the boil, so he wouldn't interest me. Stenson's a bit more interesting because he's not played much, has he? So we haven't had an awful lot to go on. But 21st in the Corrales Punta Cana last week was a decent effort from him. Suggesting maybe if some rust has come off.
Yeah, I consider Stenson on the back of that. It'd be nice to have stats from last week, wouldn't it? Just to see, you know, if he'd been hitting his irons well or driving the ball well, get that feel.
I've got some here. He was 8th in driving accuracy, 25th for greens in reg.
Okay. That's decent then.
Decent enough. His putting was a bit ropey, but I think he did enough last week to suggest that's a... If you like him this week, he's got that under his belt, which gives you a bit more confidence. But Garcia just seems to, I don't know what's going on with him. He shot an 81 in round 2 of the US Open.
Yeah.
I know that was hard, but it just followed on from previous poor form. So he just looks like he's in a bit of a slump, mini slump.
Yeah. Third selection?
Oh, is it still me?
Yes, it is. I've only got one pick for this.
Oh, yeah. The other one, it's just the price jumped out at me, was... 90-1 on Russell Knox.
Okay.
I just read some comments from him that he'd changed coach. He said he'd got caught up in this idea that you've got to smash it a mile, and that had just kind of led to too many wides, and he was just hitting it all over the shop. So he's sort of gone back to doing what he does well, because he still thinks that can be an effective policy on the PGA Tour. Open with a 63 at the Safeway Open, where he was ninth, which was a fair effort. 35th in this event on his only appearance, even though it was a long time ago. But he ranked 17th off the tee at the Safeway, 6th tee to green, strokes going tee to green. So I just thought 90-1 on the player of his ability. He's also got 25th in the Barracuda a couple of starts before his ninth. So he just seems like he's coming back to form. And obviously, when you note that, you think, well, is that just random coming back to form? But when I read some quotes by him, you know he's changed coach. Mm. So it just gives it a little bit more of a, like there could be some impetus behind it. So it's just it's a half a point each way job, but I just thought 90-1. At William Hill stood out.
Any others you want to mention? Top of the betting, Scotty Scheffler, who obviously he was well touted for the US Open, so down in class here, 9-1 at the top of the betting, returning from the absence due to the positive COVID test. Any appeal with Scheffler at nines?
Well, in terms of if you just said who's going to win and price was no issue, I'd say Scotty Scheffler, because he's, again, looking for his first win, in fantastic form, great driver of the ball.
Yeah.
16th last year. It's just a 9-1, though, isn't it? You go, I don't know whether you could see that as an each way bet to nothing. And it'll, I mean, he's come in the top four in three of his last four events, and they've been, you know, the Tour Championship, a FedEx Cup playoff event, and the PGA.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's been, you know, excelling against superb field. So in theory, he should go well. Again, you presume he was a mild sufferer of COVID, but you don't know. That could take something out of him. I don't know.
Yeah, and Sungjae.
Yeah, not at nines, not really.
Sungjae back on Bermuda obviously played well at the Tour Championship. He's 14-1, and Will Zalatoris as well. He played his way in on Sunday, didn't he?
Needing
a sponsor's exemption. He's going to get Tour membership, isn't he? Because he's going to pick up all those sponsor invites. I think he's still got 7 to use, and he's not far off gaining temporary Tour membership now.
Yeah, I mean, he's perhaps another example of someone who obviously had a great US Open, and then he went off in his next event at 12s.
Yeah.
So he got absolutely collared in the betting, but you know, he played nicely at the finish, but it obviously didn't justify being a 12-1 shot. And I think it might be similar with Scheffler.
Yeah.
Who else? I thought Siwoo Kim at 45s back on Bermuda.
Yeah, can see that.
Played well. Obviously, won the Players. And played well at Sedgefield.
I think the course superintendent says that this has got a Donald Ross look to it. I saw that on one of the Roto World pieces, and obviously he's an expert on Donald Ross designs.
Yeah, Christopher Ventura I like as well at 80s.
Yeah.
Expecting good things from him. Yeah, there's quite a lot really that you could look at. Denny McCarthy, another one. Griot should go well. Zach Johnson's come right back into form as well, but he's just gone a bit short again at 35s.
We are top price guaranteed on the top 10, plus we are paying 8 places on the Sanderson Farms Championship, so it's well worth checking out the betting at williamhill.com and on the app for that event on the PGA Tour. Dave, do you want to recap your selections for this week?
Yeah, so in Scotland, I'm going to go 1.5 each way on Lee Westwood at 28-1.
I'm going to go 1 point each way, Yousse Loughton at 60-1, 0.5 each way, Marcus Kinnault at 100-1, and on the PGA Tour, Dave?
Yeah, at the Sanderson Farms, I'll go 1 point each way, Doc Redman at 33-1, 1 point each way on Cam Davis at 50-1, and just 0.5 each way on Russell Knox at 90-1. Maybe Knox will kind of, you know, sometimes you get where a part of his heart will be in Scotland, and he was going to think, right, I need to justify
staying
why
over
I've
here.
Not gone home, so I'm going to play really well this week.
That could happen. I'm going to 1 point each way Brian Harman at 35-1 for the Sanderson Farms Championship. Dave, thank you for your company.
Yeah, thanks, Dave.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listened. I do hope you've enjoyed the podcast. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, at D Kellner and at Dave Tyndall Golf. Check out all the betting at williamhill.com and on the app. And if you're having a bet on the golf this week with William Hill, the very best of luck, and we'll speak soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.